Hello. The sight of some Russian troops appearing to pull away from the border with Ukraine has been met with some scepticism as diplomatic efforts to avoid war continue. The Russian president and German chancellor opened the latest line of dialogue, with both saying conflict can be avoided. But as Dorsa Jabari reports from Moscow, more conversations are needed before the chance of war retreats.
Russia's defense ministry says these are some of its troops which had been positioned on the border with Ukraine. They're returning to base after finishing training exercises.
As the training comes to an end, the troops, as usual, will march back to their home stations. Units from the southern and western military districts that completed their tasks already have started loading on trains and motor vehicles. They will start moving to their home bases. Individual units will march on their own in military columns.
While this raises hopes that tensions could ease between Russia and Ukraine, there are still large-scale military exercises taking place, and it's not clear how many units are being pulled back. News of the troops' drawdown came just as the German Chancellor Olaf Scholz arrived in Russia for talks with President Vladimir Putin, who said war was the last thing he wanted.
Do we want war or not? Of course we don't, and it's for that reason that we have submitted a proposal as to a negotiation process as a result of which there should be a guarantee for security for everybody, including our country.
Chancellor Olaf Scholz said some aspects of Russia's demands on Ukraine were worth considering while stressing the need for diplomacy to succeed.
Today I fully agree that diplomatic efforts have yet to be exhausted. We have to find a peaceful resolution to this crisis. Several troops have been pulled back, which is a good sign, and we hope that this will continue.
In the Belgian capital, NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg expressed cautious optimism at the news of the Russian drawdown.
There are signs from Moscow that diplomacy should continue. This gives grounds for cautious optimism. But so far, we have not seen any sign of de-escalation on the ground.
Despite these intense diplomatic efforts, there are still many outstanding issues at the heart of the crisis.
Vladimir Putin says he is ready to talk to U.S. leaders about Ukraine's request to join the 30-member NATO alliance. And he says that is a conversation which cannot be put off any longer, something both NATO and U.S. leaders have refused to discuss so far. And until that issue is resolved, it is now clear that this crisis could continue for months to come. Dorsa Jabari, Al Jazeera, Moscow.
Ukraine and Western leaders say they haven't seen enough evidence that Russian troops are withdrawing. The circles are where Russia is thought to have deployed more than 130,000 troops surrounding Ukraine on three sides. Russian soldiers also deployed in the annexed region of Crimea and back thousands of fighters in two rebel-held eastern provinces. Hours before Russia's withdrawal announcement, a US defense official said ground units were moving closer to the Ukrainian border. A satellite company said there was increased military activity in Belarus, Crimea and western Russia, including the arrival of helicopters and fighter jets. The UK says Russia is building field hospitals near Ukraine in Belarus, which could mean an invasion is being planned. It also says battalion tactical groups are being taken closer to the border. Stef Vassen is in Luninets in southern Belarus, one of the places Russia has been building up troops. She gave us this update earlier.
I have to say there's quite some skepticism here also in the south of Belarus about this statement that the Russian troops are leaving or about to leave. It's also very hard to verify this statement here on the ground because there has been some footage released by the Russian Ministry of Defense showing tanks and troops leaving, but there wasn't any mention of date or time or location. We're here at Luninets Air Base, which is one of the locations where reportedly high-end equipment from Russia was brought in as far as 10,000 kilometers away from the Far East, the Eastern Command. Apparently, S-400 missile defense systems are here and also Sukhoi fighter jets. Well, we know now that this exercise or whatever is happening here hasn't ended because just 20 minutes ago, we heard fighter jets taken to the air. presumably on a training mission, so definitely activity here still in Luninyet. And it's also interesting to note that the Russian ministry said that the Western and Southern Command was going to be withdrawn back to their bases in Russia, but they didn't mention anything about the Eastern and Central Command. And what we've known so far is that there are many troops brought in from the Far East.
The Ukrainian government says the websites of its defense, foreign and culture ministries, as well as the two largest state banks, have been taken offline by a cyber attack. Inside Ukraine, anxiety is building as residents consider what to do if Russia launches a ground invasion. Natasha Butler reports from Kiev.
Slava says his son Ivan brings him joy in what he says is a world of hysteria. He doesn't want to leave his home in Kyiv, but says he'd consider doing so to protect his family if Russia were to invade Ukraine.
Every day I'm thinking about what to do with my family, or either go to Lviv, for example, to the western part of Ukraine, or go to a village where my parents of my wife live. They have a small house, but at least they have, for example, they have electric generator, they have solar panels, so at least we will have electricity, for example, and the fridge will be working.
Most people in the city are tired of thinking about what Russia might do next. For 8 years, they've lived with conflict in the east of the country between Ukrainian forces and Russian-backed separatists. But the recent crisis is fueling a renewed sense of anxiety.
Things seem very normal in the city. People are still going to work or to school. The shops and restaurants are busy. But as the situation continues, some people that we meet tell us that they are worried and making contingency plans.
If there is an invasion, we will go to Western Ukraine. But if there is a need to fight, my entire family will.
Russians are just showing off, making noise, play acting. Russians aren't only influencing Ukrainian opinion, but everyone else. But Russia will destroy itself if it invades.
Diplomatic efforts to avert a new war have seemed at times to go round in circles, with little sign of a breakthrough. Moscow now says it's pulling some troops from the border, but Ukraine's government is sceptical.
We continuously hear different statements from the Russian Federation, so we have a rule. We believe not what we hear, but we believe what we see. If we see the pullout, we will believe in the de-escalation.
40 years ago, this huge arch was built on a hill in the city to celebrate Russia and Ukraine's friendship. Since then, someone has painted a large crack in the monument. No one here wants a new conflict, but history has taught them to be prepared. Natasha Butler, Al Jazeera, Kyiv.
In the next couple of hours, US President Joe Biden is due to speak about Ukraine. Let's get more from our White House correspondent, Kimberly Halkett. And Kimberly, what are we expecting to hear from him?
Yeah, well, according to the White House press secretary, Jen Psaki, the U.S. president is expected to address the American public and the world from the East Room of the White House at about 20:30 GMT. He is expected to talk about the situation on the ground in Ukraine, as well as the steps that have been taken thus far to avert war and the actions that the West is prepared to take should Russia invade Ukraine. Now, in addition to this, we expect that the U.S. president will talk about what is at stake for the United States and the world if this conflict is not averted, and how Americans could potentially face repercussions here in the United States, something that many Americans really have not thought much about of. And this is certainly going to be a bit of a wake-up call for some who are watching or thinking about this for the first time. Now, in the interim, the president, prior to making the speech, has been speaking to world leaders. At least he did speak to the French president, Emmanuel Macron. We don't have a readout of that call yet, but we do know that his Secretary of State, Antony Blinken, was speaking with his counterpart, his Russian counterpart, Sergei Lavrov, the foreign minister. And we now have a readout of that telephone call. We understand that the United States once again reiterating that they are pushing for a diplomatic solution to resolve these security differences. They emphasized the need for a verifiable, credible, and meaningful de-escalation of what they call Russian aggression, that buildup of Russian troops along Ukraine's borders. Further, the United States said that should Russia choose the path of invading Ukraine, there would be swift, severe, and a united transatlantic response. The United States at this hour believing that there is still a window to resolve this crisis peacefully, but we expect when we hear from the president, he will say that that window is soon going to be closing.
Kimberly Halkett, thank you very much indeed.